The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Are you afraid of ventriloquist dummies? Do they just creep you out because they seem alive? Well, don't touch that dial. Because you know that one dummy that scares you the most? The one with the dead-looking eyes? Yeah, him. Anyway, if you turn this program off, he'll pop out of a cabinet when you least expect it. He's in there now, listening, right now.
Shh, he can hear us.
And now your host, take it away, big dummy, Eric Metaxas.
I always laugh at that. I don't want to encourage Todd Wilkerson, but I can't help it sometimes. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. Guess what we're talking about today? Guess. Did you guess Israel? Well, if you guessed Israel, you got it right, because I have in the studio, and if you have Metaxas Super, you can see him, Doug Hershey. Doug, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Now, you've written a book about Israel called Israel Rising. It says celebrating 70 years, which is 1948 to 2018. Hard to believe that Israel is now suddenly 70 right. years old. And on the book, it says ancient prophecy, modern lens. So people who are watching us on Metaxas Super can see this is a huge coffee table picture book. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous book. I want to get the background on you and why you wanted to write about Israel. So tell my audience who you are, since I already know.
Well, with a name like Hershey, we were joking about it beforehand, was that I actually grew up in Pennsylvania. I am related to the Hershey
Say
family.
Say what?
Yeah, I
Did
know.
Did you bring me a kiss?
Maybe after the show.
Okay. So you really, wait a minute. So you grew up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, not too far from Hershey, Pennsylvania.
That's right.
But you are distantly related to the Hersheys.
Yeah, I mean, the Hershey family in Pennsylvania is so large that it's, you know, it's hard to say that anybody has a, you know, free chocolate, free inheritance or anything like that.
Okay,
But the Milton Hershey, the guy that started the Hershey chocolate.
Uncle Milty.
He was an uncle because he didn't have any children. And so everybody was kind of related through.
Sidewise.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is
how I'm in.
Okay, so you're a Pennsylvania boy who's now living in Atlanta and traveling to Israel. So how did that happen? How did you get obsessed with Israel?
Well, you know, Israel was always something that was in my heart for years. Grew up in a Christian home, and just from reading the Bible, it was always something that just sort of stood out. And my first trip to Israel was about 21 years ago or so, and just something that just really ignited.
And what made you go there? I mean, you know, not a lot of people go to Israel. What was it that said to you, I've got to go all the way across the ocean, the world?
You know, again, originally it was just something, it was burning in my heart. I had an opportunity to go on a larger bus group it was a combined group of
you
actually
took a
Jews.
Bus all the way to Israel?
It was a long drive.
Wow.
Yeah,
I didn't even know they had bridges.
Right?
That's incredible. Okay, so you get there and you take a bus tour. And something happens.
Yeah, you know, it just, everybody that goes to Israel talks about how the Bible just comes alive, and it just, you know, you're suddenly reading in living color rather than black and white. And of course, that same thing happened to me, but there was something within my heart that just kind of ignited to say, like, this is, you know, this is more than just a visit for me. This is something that's, you know, really connecting with who I am as a person.
And what made you decide to write this book? And by the way, I mean, this is an amazing coffee table book with incredible photos. I was looking through it the other day. What's behind this? I mean, and by the way, you run a tour company. Is that what you do?
Yeah, I own a company called Ezra Adventures. We specialize in small group travel that takes groups as small as six and as large as 12. And so I'm in and out of Israel on a really regular basis. And so part of what stirred my heart for something like this with the book was there's several drives through Israel. One of my favorites is from the Sea of Galilee down the Jordan Valley. And as recently as 6, 8, 10 years ago, much of that was still brown and desert. And much of the land is thanks to desert farming, irrigation, all that type of thing, is really coming back alive. And I was in the scriptures at one point, remembering and both my journeys in the land, but also reading in Ezekiel 36, where Ezekiel says that when Israel is out of the land, or when the Jewish people are out of the land, that the land will be desolate and forgotten, and then when they return, that the land will physically respond and put forth branches.
So you're getting into the fact that, not quite 3,000 years ago, but a long, long time ago, Ezekiel is writing about something that you're saying is happening in our lifetime.
And that's really 2,600 years ago. Ezekiel is actually writing it when he's actually out of the land.
He's prophesying.
Exactly.
Okay.
And which is part of the book. When we talk about ancient prophecy, modern lens, we're talking about this ancient prophecy where he lays out some very specific parameters of what the land will look like until a particular time when the Jewish people return, and then how the land will physically respond. The waste places will be rebuilt, the forgotten cities, the populations will increase. And so in the book, we did a lot of the historical research as well to find eyewitness accounts for almost every century for the last 2,000 years from Christians, Muslims, and Jews describing what the land looked like up until—
For the last 2,600 years.
For the last 2,000 years.
But I'm saying, so you have eyewitness accounts of what Israel looked like, in 800 A.D.
Exactly.
And 1,200 A.D.
Yes.
And so, because people obviously traveled through it and stuff. So what do you learn from those things? I mean, what did it look like for all these centuries?
Well, the first century historian Josephus, who was Jewish but writing for the Romans after the Roman siege of Jerusalem in 70 AD, he talks about how that 11 miles in every direction from Jerusalem, all the trees were cut down to be used for the Roman siege works. And he talks about anybody who had been to Jerusalem previously would have never recognized it. It just would have been this heartbreaking, heartbreaking view. And then we get into the fourth and fifth century, and some of the early Christian travelers from Constantinople, and some of those coming through talk about how desolate and how poor it is. Going up into the seventh, eighth century with some of the Islamic conquests, there's a quote in there from the 10th century from an Islamic writer saying that that the mosque is empty of worshipers and the majority of the population of Jerusalem is Jewish. And this is 300 years after the Arab conquest. And then you get into, all the way up to Mark Twain in the 1800s, there's just this very solemn, desolate narrative that happens up until the time of the creation of the modern camera, which is about the 1820s, 1830s. And so by the time that these sort of young adventurous photographers really start carrying these huge cases in doing photography, a lot of their photography is showing exactly what everybody's been talking about for the previous 1800 years.
Do you have any of those super early photographs in the book? Or
At the very beginning, if you're on page 15, 16, there are the first photos ever taken of Jerusalem from 1844.
Yeah, I was going to say there was no photography in 1820, but you're close.
Yeah.
Isn't it kind of amazing to think that photography is invented, I don't know, like it's roughly 1839 or something, and then suddenly you have photographs. I mean, can you imagine when that technology was discovered? It's
right.
Just crazy, so that we can look back to the 1840s and see people. So I'm looking at a photograph right here. Now, and of course, you're right about the camera obscura was invented around 1820.
Right.
But when we think of photography, we think a little bit past that. But you've got a photo here from 1844.
That's right.
It's hard to believe that you're looking, that this is a photograph. And it's sort of what's there today, right? Except it's different, but it's this is amazing. Where did you get the idea not just to do a book, but to do a photo book?
Well, when you're in the old city of Jerusalem, one of the in all the shops that are in through there, they have all of these little black and white photos, and it's more of a tourism sort of thing. But I've always had a love for history, and I love the black and whites, and you can look at some of these photos from you know, barely 100 years ago, and it's like a completely other world. And so I began kind of putting these pieces together and going, okay, well, there's this prophecy from Ezekiel where he talks about the land's going to be lying desolate. There's all of this historical narrative that's saying that land has been empty and forgotten, and these old black and white photos clearly seem to verify everything that writers have been saying for the last 1800 years. But the city that I'm standing in Jerusalem, is shockingly different than some of those photos. And so... So it just kind of all came together and brought on a very talented
It's a gorgeous, gorgeous book, and I'm just thrilled that I'm sitting here with you in the studio. Folks, more with Doug Hershey and the book Israel Rising. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
I like you.
I like you, my dear.
America is falling in love with Mr. Rogers again. Entertainment Weekly raves. It's the movie we need right now.
Fred's theology was love your neighbor and love yourself. It was a communication right into their hearts.
Mr. Rogers' faith has inspired us all.
Thank you for whatever you do to bring joy and faith to our world today.
Please? Won't you be my neighbor? Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. Now in theaters everywhere.
Imagine a politician saying this today. I have wondered at times what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress. That is a quote from Ronald Reagan. He showed us through his life, his faith, and with his words that Judeo-Christian values and principles matter. You can help spread the legacy of Ronald Reagan, and you can do it by getting a Reagan email address. Right now, if you have a Gmail, AOL, Yahoo, or other big tech company email address, you help them market their service with every email you send. In return, they scan your emails and target you with unwanted advertising. Well, thanks to our sponsor, ReaganPrivacy.com, you can instead share the Reagan name with every email you send, and they won't scan your emails. They'll leave you alone. Get an email address you'll be proud to own at ReaganPrivacy.com. Your very own personal private email address is available to you at ReaganPrivacy.com. Get your Reagan email address right now at ReaganPrivacy.com.
With over 20 years in business and over 20 million blinds sold, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Need some inspiration? Go to Blinds.com to see tons of customer photos. And right now, you save up to 35%. Plus, take an additional 5% off site-wide when you use promo code SHUTTERS. That's 35%. Plus, take an additional 5% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, promo code SHUTTERS. Rules and restrictions apply.
You know, I'm not a genius about money. I love my credit cards, and they love me.
I was using them as a source of income, and then I got behind in my payments, and creditors were calling. I figured I had a problem, and I didn't know how to deal with it. I heard about Trinity, so I called and talked to a counselor. In half an hour, we worked out a plan. Now I've got one easy monthly payment, a lower interest rate, and I'm getting out of debt.
If you're in an endless cycle of paying on credit card balances that never seem to go away, then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity will consolidate your accounts, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. Call 1-800-990-6976.
Even though the 4th is behind us, every July is our Independence Month. Become a patriot and declare your independence from big mobile companies. Break free from big mobile's hidden fees, line charges, and complicated pricing with Patriot Mobile, where pricing is simple and straightforward. Patriot Mobile also covers your switching and installment fees as a contract credit, up to $1,500 per account when you join. And each Patriot's bill contributes vital donations to conservative organizations that fight for our freedom. This month, enjoy a new Motorola E4 or an E4 Plus smartphone for only $4 a month. Save over 40% on a terrific water-resistant phone. Offer only available while supplies last. Make the switch today by calling 1-800-A-PATRIOT or by visiting patriotmobile.com. That's 1-800-A-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com. Be a patriot. Switch and make conservative change every time you use your cell phone. Patriot Mobile, your new cellular resource for patriotism.
I
You've been making your brags around town that you've been loving my man. But the man I love, when he picks up trash, he puts it in a garbage can. And that's what you look like to me, and what I see's a pity. You better close your face and stay out of my way if you don't want to go to this city.
Oh, them's fighting words, literally. Folks, I cannot recommend what you're hearing there. I apologize. we're not pacifists, but Fist City, I don't know. We're talking to the author of a book called Israel Rising, The Land of Israel Reawakens, Ancient Prophecy, Modern Lens, celebrating the 70th anniversary of the creation of the nation of modern Israel. Doug Hershey is with us here. Now, Doug, I don't want to forget to say that you you head up something called Ezra Adventures, where you bring people to Israel. So you've been doing this for a long time, and obviously you have a view that many of us don't of this country. I imagine even in the last 20 years, you've seen changes in Israel.
Dramatic changes, absolutely.
And what are the changes you've seen more recently? Because, you know, 1848, obviously, 1948, it's not that long ago, but it really, Israel has come a very long way in these 70 years. So what have you seen just in the last 20 years?
In the last 20 years, probably one of the most dramatic is sort of part of what stirred the initial desire to start doing a book like this is just seeing the landscape change dramatically. Israel right now is the only nation on earth where the deserts are shrinking and not expanding. And so part of that is through things like the desalinization plants that Israel has, pulling seawater out of the Mediterranean, out of the Red Sea, turning it into fresh drinking water, which is providing for over 40% of water usage in Israel right now. They're expecting that to go up to 70% by 2050.
I mean, this is a pretty cool concept when you think about turning salt water into fresh water. That's something that it's a little bit like turning lead into gold. I mean, it's magic.
Because
it's really once amazing. You do that, you have no water problem. It's pretty wild.
Exactly. And then from there, most of the wastewater, the gray water that Israel produces, up to, I want to say it's 89 or almost 90%, is then sent to reclamation plants, which is then filtered out into agricultural purposes.
See, that's another thing. I was just in Israel for the first time in my life this year, and I learned some of these things. And when I heard that they take the wastewater and they recycle it to use it, I thought to myself, the technology that they have.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an amazing country.
Yeah, it really is. And on top of that, then when that goes back into desert farming, a lot of these desert farming techniques have been developed in the last 30 to 40 years. And they're finding that 80 to 90% of the water that's used in traditional farming methods is wasted. And so now with this drip technology, they can literally drip it right onto the root. And so now they're even pioneering something that's called precision agriculture, where they have an entire field that will be connected with this drip irrigation fertilization, and they can fly a drone over with whatever type of sensors and figure out which plant needs an extra ounce of this or an extra ounce of that, put it into their computer and like just dial it in technology.
Okay.
Again, I mean, this is just shocking stuff.
I was going to say, now you're freaking me out. That's like really crazy stuff.
And even more so, if we go back to this this ancient prophecy in Ezekiel 36, there's two places in there where it's written that God says that he will cause the famines to end. And he's saying to Ezekiel, say to the land that you'll never again bear the reproach of the famine among the nations. And so very, very quickly, we're talking about desalinization, we're talking about water reclamation and agriculture and all these things. You know, very, very possibly in our lifetime, we could be at a point where if it never rains again in Israel, they're pulling drinking water out of the sea. And for the population, all of the wastewater is going into agriculture. Things will continue to grow. The water will be there. If it never rains again, the nation of Israel will be just fine. And there's no other nation on earth that's anywhere close to even dreaming of such things.
Okay, now, and what is that? In other words, what is it about Israel that they're doing this kind of stuff, and that I assume we're not doing much of this even here in the U.S.
That's right.
And why? What is it about? I mean, I'm not aware of desalinization and what that would cost. I mean, is that very expensive, or I guess they figured out a way to do it not so expensively?
Well, I think it kind of comes out of necessity. I mean, when you're living in the Middle East and Yeah, there's not really the only water source in Israel aside from the desalinization is the Sea of Galilee. When there's a drought, that those water levels are going lower and lower. I know that Israelis were brought in for some of the California drought several years ago. There was a desalinization plant that was started, I want to say in Santa Barbara, that was started, you know, 20 years ago. They said it was too expensive, and the Israelis were trying to help them get it back up and going to kind of alleviate that whole aspect. But they've been water technology really giants around the world. I mean, anybody who is in need of desert farming, of desalinization, of just water usage and water technology is contacting Israel right now because of literally turning the deserts into blooming farms.
You've got so much in this book. I don't know where to go. You have a perspective from Mark Twain. You mentioned him earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote his famous book, The Innocents Abroad.
Yes.
And he does talk about going to Israel. And in 1867, amazing to think that we have Mark Twain writing, he says, "Jericho, the accursed, lies a moldering ruin today, even as Joshua's miracle left it more than 3,000 years ago." It is wild to think that for literally millennia, nothing really changed there. And then suddenly in 1948, Shazam, out of the ashes comes a nation. Really, I guess I really want my listeners to understand what a wild idea it is that the Jews did not become part of the ash heap of history. I mean, where are the Hittites today? Where are the Amorites?
Exactly.
Where are the Jebusites? Where are these peoples just gone? And somehow, stunningly, the Jews remained a people with the traditions going all the way back. And not only that, but then became a nation, a physical nation, a geographical spot. I think it was Benjamin Disraeli who said, somebody around the time of when Mark Twain wrote this, but that the, you know, proof of God is the Jewish people.
Absolutely.
The Jews. And that's 100 years before Israel, the nation, you know, I would say Israel, the nation is proof of God, because when you read Daniel and read these prophecies, you say, hey, come on, how is it possible that this can happen?
And here's the thing, too. Even when you put the Bible and spirituality aside, and you mentioned about the Hittites and some of these other earlier people groups from, you know, whenever, there's been no other people group that have been on a particular piece of land and then forcibly removed and then brought back to the same piece of land to again be forcibly removed for 2,000 years, scattered to the ends of the earth to come back to the exact same piece of real estate as an identifiable, recognizable people speaking the same language, studying the same scrolls. It's an anomaly in human history. It's never happened before. And so, you know, and then on top of that, to have an ancient prophet prophesying all of that ahead of time, there's no other people group, not the Chinese, not the Persians, not the Romans. There's no one that has it. And it just so happens that it's the same people group that the God of the Bible says he's made an everlasting covenant with, both with the people and for that particular piece of land.
See, what you're saying, I mean, if somebody's listening to this program who is not a Christian or a Jew, I want to challenge that person to say, what do you make of this? This is super freaky. This is not.
It's never happened before.
I mean, not only has it never happened before, but when you get the details, just as you laid them out, I mean, let's lay it out for people that, you know, God creates the Jewish people through Abraham about 1900 years BC. So like 4,000 years ago. God creates a people. Just that is kind of freaky because they weren't Jews before that. They were just scattered people. And then he creates a people. He says that you're going to be my people and you're going to. So they don't exist before that. And then suddenly they come into being and they're marked in a way that has not changed for 4,000 years.
That's right.
And I'm not just talking about circumcision. I'm just talking about everything that they do goes all the way back with continuity. That's insane. I mean, if you just talk about that, and then he leads them to this land. And so talk about how they were in the land and then they were kicked out and they came back. Talk about that for a minute.
Well, in the Bible, it talks about that the Babylonian and the Assyrian exile where the nation was brought out.
What year?
Oh, I want to say 587 BC, I believe it was, and that was about the time that Ezekiel is writing this. He's writing this, his revelations and his downloads from God around that time while he's in Babylon, and he's using it as a way to call back the people
and
to the land.
And they're out for what, 400 years?
Well, they're in Babylon for only 70. And part of the prophecy of Jeremiah is that God, you know, was speaking to Jeremiah about them being out for only 70 years, and then they're brought back under the time of Ezra and Nehemiah.
When we come back, we're going to get back to this timeline. This is fascinating stuff. The book is Israel Rising. The author, Doug Hershey. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Stick around.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Fire your stockbroker and hire yourself. I'm Scott Bauer, and I've been a professional trader for over 25 years. I've traded for Goldman Sachs and was the first Amazon market maker at the Chicago Board Options Exchange. I'm also the CEO here at Prosper Trading Academy, the leading educational firm teaching people how to trade the markets. For a limited time, I'm giving away one of my favorite secret trading techniques used by thousands of our students every day to help build their financial future. To learn this technique right now, call my 24/7 voicemail and just leave your email address. I'll email you my free trading technique right away. Just call 1-800-228-2155. This is the very information my students use every day to invest in their financial future. Again, call 1-800-228-2155 in the next 30 minutes and leave your email address on my voicemail. That's 1-800-228-2155. Call 1-800-228-2155.
Warning: property protected by electric fence. Sharks sighted in water.
There are a lot of warnings you don't want to miss.
Bridge out.
Especially when it comes to your identity and the personal information on your devices. That's why new LifeLock Identity Theft Protection now adds Norton Security for more protection than ever. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to detect threats, like your personal info for sale on the dark web. And Norton Security helps protect up to 5 devices from ransomware and other online threats. Plus, if you have a problem, our agents will work to fix it. No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But missing a warning sign...
Warning. Minefield ahead.
...could be dangerous. Join now and get an additional 10% off your first year. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code SMART. That's promo code SMART. New LifeLock with Norton. More detection, more protection.
We are drinking from the fountain. We are drinking from the fountain, oh. We are drinking from the fountain that never runs.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Doug Hershey. He is related to the chocolate family. And we're talking about his book, Israel Rising, The Land of Israel Reawakens. This is 70 years since the creation of the modern state of Israel, 1948. We were just talking about the timeline. I want to get this right. And I'm very happy to parade my ignorance before my viewers because I forget stuff. So around 1900 BC, Abraham, who is not a Jew, is called to be the first Jew to create a nation. Okay, so that happens while he is in what is modern day Israel. I mean, in the physical place, the geographical location that we consider Israel today.
Correct.
And God declares to him then the shape of this place, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, if we're talking, you know, Bible literacy in Genesis 15, the promise of God, when we talk about the promised land, what he's saying in Genesis 15 is from the Euphrates River to the river of Egypt, referring probably to the Nile River. And so according to God, those are the boundaries, not just simply this little skinny piece of land that we have today as about the size of New Jersey, but we have, according to God in the Bible, the land that was promised to Abraham is from the Euphrates River to the river in Egypt.
And how much bigger is that than modern day Israel?
Really big.
You know, I'm fascinated because why have I never really kind of keyed into this before.
Well, you know, people talk about the promised land and they think of just sort of, you know, our geographical map. But again, when it comes down to any time that God makes a promise in the Bible, it becomes, in my mind, it becomes less about what he's promising and more about can he do it or not. I mean, if God is sovereign, yes or no, if he is, he certainly has the right to choose whatever people group and put them on whatever piece of land for any length of time that he chooses. And so what, according to God's description of the promised land, right, from the Euphrates to the river, what that in present day is all of Jordan, most of Syria, half of Iraq, all of Lebanon, the northern section of Saudi Arabia, and the eastern edge of Egypt.
Holy guacamole, as they say in downtown Tel Aviv. That is really, that is so amazing, because this is why I love to have people on here. I learned so much. I never really paid attention to that.
Yeah.
So it's possible somehow in the future that God will do that. I don't know if that's supposed to happen, but.
Well, you know, if God is actually God and he can keep his word and he can do what he chooses, I mean, what it comes down to is, do you believe that God can do what he says he's going to do or not?
But I've just never heard people talk about this, because that is pretty wild.
It is indeed.
And them's fighting words.
That's right.
So he gives this promise to Abraham. This is 1900 BC. This is long. I mean, it's amazing. We're talking, this is before the Mycenaean era in Greece. And it is just so long ago. It's amazing. And so then, of course, it's not until about 1500 BC that Moses brings his people into the promise. Maybe it's 1400 BC. I don't know.
Yeah, somewhere in that ballpark. You know, the promise is repeated to Abraham, to Isaac, and then to Jacob.
Right.
Jacob then ends up, because of the drought, ends up going to Egypt, and when his son Joseph is ruling in Egypt and that whole thing, they end up staying there 430 years, and they come out. But all through that time, God is promising them, I'm going to bring you to the land that I promised your forefathers.
So that's the 400 years that I keep forgetting. So
right.
So then finally through Moses, he leads them into the promised land.
Right.
So it's all, just that is kind of incredible that God says this thing and then it takes all this time and then he fulfills it.
Yeah.
And so they're there for how long before they're kicked out?
That's a good question. Another several hundred years.
It's 900 years, isn't it?
Somewhere around in there.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I mean, you build a house, you settled there. You know, what are you going to do? You know, who wants to move? Nobody wants to move until they're forced.
It's an amazing thing to think that. So we're talking about, let's say, 1450 BC until 587 BC. So we're talking like nearly 1,000 years. When you think of 1,000 years. I mean, imagine.
Yeah, we don't have a grid for that.
What America was like in the year 1000. You know, like it's a long time. So they're there for 1,000 years, which is an eternity.
Yeah.
And then they're kicked out in 587.
But around that time, when the Babylonians come in, there's an exile. They take them. That's where Daniel, the book of Daniel, is written while he's there. Ezekiel, and then the two Old Testament books, or in the Tanakh, as the Jews call it, the Ezra and Nehemiah, are about them returning to the land under the gift of the Persian king, saying go back and rebuild the temple. They're there for another, I want to say, probably 300-400 years up until the first century, through the
And the diaspora is what, 70 AD?
70 AD is when the temple was destroyed, and then the Romans finally crushed this, you know, little band of Jewish rebels that just won't lay down and die, about 135, 136.
Okay.
And then at that point, that's sort of when what we call the diaspora being scattered to the nations, that's when that begins.
I love getting these facts straight. Thank you, Doug Hershey, because this is important for us to get the sweep of this, but also to realize that what a relationship the Jewish people have to this land. I mean, it's really extraordinary. I can't really think of much that can compare to this. I mean, the Greeks have Athens, but this idea that they're kicked out like this and that they keep coming back. And so then, all right, so after the period of the Maccabees, it's, you know, close to 2,000 years before they get to go back in 1948.
Yeah, you know, and there's a Jewish majority that remains in some of these cities. So, for instance, that going back to that oldest picture of Jerusalem that we have in 1844, that same year, and I got the census numbers in there. The Ottoman Turks did a census that year and said 15,000 people were in Jerusalem, and the majority of them were Jewish.
See, this is crazy stuff. All right, we're coming back with Doug Hershey. The book, beautiful book, Israel Rising, The Land of Israel Reawakens. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Hey, Albin.
Hey, Eric.
Albin, are you skeptical when somebody says something can help
Sometimes,
you?
Sometimes, yeah, sure.
Well, me too. Relief Factor.
Yes.
As you know, we advertise Relief Factor on this program. I was initially skeptical. I thought, they want me to advertise something. I don't know. Does it work? So I started to take it, right?
Okay.
And my acne cleared up. No, that's not true. But the fact is that I have had pain because I run, okay? And even though I was skeptical, I tried it. And you have to try it for 2 to 3 weeks. In case sometimes it works right away, but there are four different chemicals, whatever they are, active ingredients. And sometimes they take longer. But for me, it worked. And it's why I take it. If you have any aches and pains, folks, I challenge you to try it. It's $19.95. It's very little. And I think I can go out on a limb and say it probably will work. If you have any kind of aches, but it doesn't have to be like searing, horrible pain. But if you have some kind of, you know, arthritic stuff, I would try it. You go to relieffactor.com, $19.95 for the quick start pack, relieffactor.com.
Your credit card companies love you. They love it when your cards stay maxed out. They love it when you only make minimum payments. They love it when you struggle. Why? Because they own you. And minimum payments mean maximum profits. Here's great news. National Debt Relief is now offering you free information on how to escape your credit card debt nightmare. If you owe more than $10,000 in credit card debt and are only barely making minimum payments, know this. You may not have to pay it all back. In fact, you may have the right to settle that debt for only a fraction of what you owe. National Debt Relief has helped thousands of people get rid of over $500 million of debt. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get the information you need for free right now before this offer goes away. Call National Debt Relief now and escape your credit card debt troubles. 800-679-1288. 800-679-1288. 800-679-1288.
Are you a timeshare owner that would like to get out of your timeshare the right way? Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. Getting out of your timeshare is probably at the top of your to-do list for 2018. Now is the time to make the call to simplify your life. We have an excellent track record and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. So if you want to get rid of those high maintenance fees and annual bills for vacations you never take, call 844-284-4863 or visit us online at LoneStarTransfer.com. That's 844-284-4863. For over a decade, we have been working in timeshare owner advocacy to help those stuck in timeshares. Let us help you with a legal and ethical solution. Call us today for a private, no-obligation consultation. We will give you a solution that will get you out of your timeshare once and for all. Call 844-284-4863 or LoneStarTransfer.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
What is it costing you in vet bills for that convenience of just pulling open a bag of
formulated, extruded, processed cereal bits that cost a ton of money anyways?
How do you feed your dog to derive not only energy, but a good coat, bright eyes, and a great attitude?
Come to Dinovite for help.
Dinovite .com.
I found his raw meat diet on Dinovite.com.
With just the raw meat and the eggs and the Dinovite and the Super Omega on top of it.
Try Super Omega fish oil.
Buy two, get one free.
Ground beef, white rice, eggs, including the shells, and the Dinovite supplement, and then the Lico-Chops.
Try Lico-Chops. Buy two, get one free.
It just balances out his body and his mind and his spirit.
Adding Dinovite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
Their skin is so much better now that they're on the raw diet. I don't even give them the kibble anymore.
Dinovite .com.
Hey there, folks. That's Elton John. I'm Eric Metaxas. And I don't want to forget, before we continue talking about Israel, let me talk about Hillsdale. It's a college. Yeah, it's in Michigan, I believe. And when people go there and get an education, they learn about America and why America is great, what American exceptionalism is, like the real view of what it is. We're not talking about, you know, chest-thumping jingoism. They learn about the Constitution. Hillsdale's a rare place in that they don't take any tax money. Think about that, folks. An institution of higher learning that takes no tax money. They, by the way, if you go to metaxasforhillsdale.com, they're offering a course on the Constitution, a free course, college-level course with Hillsdale professors. You know, if you're wondering what to do with the rest of the summer, can I recommend that you go to metaxasforhillsdale.com, check it out. It's tremendous stuff. You can get a free copy of Imprimis every month. It's just, you should know about it. We're going to go back to our conversation. We're talking about Israel. Israel Rising is the book. Doug Hershey is the author, and the photography by Elise, how do we say that?
Thériault. French-Canadian. That's right.
Thériault.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Thériault, like Denny Thériault, the host of Dance Fever. You're too young to remember. Okay, Doug, we're talking about Israel, and we left off talking about this idea that even though Israel was not a nation state until 1948, you're saying that for centuries and centuries and centuries, there were Jews living there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we just mentioned about in 1844 that the Ottomans did a census, and it's the same year as the oldest photo in Jerusalem. Only 15,000 people in 1844 living in Jerusalem. Over 8,000 of them are Jewish right now. Just to give you an idea, that's what 1844 is, maybe what 150 years ago. The current population of Jerusalem right now is, gosh, I want to say it's over 880,000. And so just a little bit of a population boom in the last 150 years. But all of that has been happening really in the last 70 as the Jewish people have been returning to the land. And so as we're talking about ancient prophecies in the Bible, the most repeated promise in the Bible is that God will bring his people back to this land. And so, again, just in terms of a nation, just in terms of a people group, like we mentioned before about people returning to the land, there's no other people group that has any type of ancient prophecy that foretells their land being desolate and their return to the actual land, and then that nation reviving. Because what Ezekiel says is the branches will put forth fruit, the land will be cultivated and sown, the waste places and the waste cities and the destroyed cities will be rebuilt, the population will multiply. All of this has happened in the last 70 years after the land lying desolate of for the previous 2,000.
It's incredible. Another thing that Israel and the Jews have that no other nation or no other people in the history of the world has is people consistently despising them all around the world and wanting to wipe them off the map. I mean, that is kind of, to me, proof of the specialness of Israel, that this goes so far back, and that even to the current day, that you could have black supremacists who hate Jews and white supremacists who hate Jews. It's kind of like this thing all through history that hatred often has the Jews as a focus. And I would argue that that's because they are the chosen people of God. And you know, that God chose them to bring his Messiah into the world through them so that the whole world would worship him. And, you know, there've been people through history who said, oh, Jesus wasn't Jewish, you know? And I think that it's just something that you have to acknowledge. Again, doesn't matter where you're coming from, but just think about all these facts. It should lead you to believe there's something going on here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, really the same thing could be said about Islam. I mean, a lot of the Islamic terrorism groups, they all hate each other pretty much, you know, as far as when we're talking about, like, whether it's the Wahhabis or the Islamic Jihad or Hamas or Fatah or, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood, they all can't get along, but they can all get along. And when it comes down to the Jews,
at least there's one thing they can agree on.
They all
hate the Jews.
They want to kill the Jews and the Christians too.
Isn't it interesting? And actually this relates to America. In other words, I think that there is a spiritual alliance that, at least it's something that seems clear to me, that when you ally yourselves with the people of God, you get the blessing and the curse, in the sense that, you know, people think of America as the great Satan, right, and Israel as the little Satan. In other words, that there seems to be a relationship. And I would argue, and I mean,
mean, I don't even think it's much to argue about, that this concept of freedom that you get, it's in the Bible, this idea that we want to have freedom and that God wants to use Israel to bless the whole world and he wants to use America to bless the whole world. I think that there's all kinds of there are all kinds of pieces that are connected there. And it is interesting, the spiritual hatred that is around the world for Israel and, in a way, for America. And I think that the way Israel has flourished, that there are people that they're simply jealous. They look at it and they just hate them because Israel is flourishing. I mean, you've got it documented in this book.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the stunning things is that regardless of where you're at in your spiritual beliefs or how you feel about the Bible, it's difficult to argue that something is not uniquely happening in Israel. I mean, some of these photos from even the early 1900s, I mean, it's just a desolate, empty landscape. One of the things that the Arab conquest of the Ottoman Turks from 1517 to 1917, they had this crazy taxation policy of taxing the people of the land by the amount of trees that they had on their land. So if, you know, what do you do if you don't want to pay taxes? You're obviously cutting down your trees. It completely decimates the land. Topsoil goes away. Weather patterns change. Most historians say that it's under the Ottoman rule that the land is completely decimated. And within the last 100 years, with the return of the Jewish people starting in the 1880s, the Jewish National Fund, the JNF, they report on their website that they've in the last 100 years have planted over 250 million trees.
What? 250 million trees?
Yeah, and all of those are planted by hand. I mean, it's a stunning figure.
Let's hit pause there. We're going to be right back. We're talking about Israel. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. President Trump recently tweeted that 101 utilities have cut their rates and the utilities credit the GOP tax cuts. Millions of Americans are now seeing lower monthly utility bills, all thanks to the tax cuts. Look, the Democrats can't really get around the fact that the tax cuts passed last December have given energy to an economy that was sputtering, to be mild about it. Now it's roaring back. Americans are seeing wages rise, more and more jobs being created. And as the president pointed out, savings in your utility bills, too. But the Democrats really want to stop these tax cuts from being permanent. If they take over the House this fall, that's what they're going to do. You can play a part in stopping that by getting energized yourself. Go to taxcutswork.com and email a letter to Congress telling them to make the tax cuts permanent. 20,000 people have done it. I need you to do it too. Join the nearly 3,000 people who have shared their story of how tax cuts have helped them. Email Congress and share your story at taxcutswork.com. Then get 10 people you know to do the same. Folks, this is important. Go to taxcutswork.com, taxcutswork.com.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Who knows how long I've loved you? You know I love you still. Will I wait a lonely lifetime? If you want me to, I will.
Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show, and we're talking about Israel. Have you heard of it? Yeah, it's a country. Israel Rising is the book. The author, Doug Hershey, is with us. Doug, this is a labor of love. Let me just say that. I ought to have said it. Gorgeous photographs by Elise Theriault. Did I get it?
You got it.
I got it. And you're the author. And you were just saying about how this book in photographs proves that what the Bible
said so long ago is coming to pass. It's like, here is the proof.
Yeah, and there's three aspects to the book. We have this prophecy in Ezekiel 36. We've got 2,000 years of eyewitness accounts, the black and white photos that verify the eyewitness accounts, and then the photos from today that kind of put all of the pieces together. And so nothing like this has ever happened before in the land of Israel as far as this type of revival, this type of restoration. And so we're talking about it not as just simply a really pretty then and now book. There's lots of then and now books from lots of cities all over the world or lots of nations.
Yeah.
There's no other city or nation that's had its history foretold 2,600 years ago to be coming out exactly as this prophecy foretold. And so that in itself is just simply, it's providing photographic evidence that the words of the Bible are true, God meant what he said, and it's literally happening exactly as he described 2,600 years ago in the way that it would, all by starting with the Jewish people returning to the land.
Right, 70 years ago.
Yeah.
That's almost in our lifetime. It's extraordinary. And then, of course, there was the War of 67 and the War of 73. I mean, this stuff is...
There's countless miracles. I mean, we could spend the next couple hours talking about just these just ridiculous miracles that happened through the history of Israel.
Well, we've just got about 2 minutes left, so give us a miracle or two.
Oh, man, 1967. I mean, they're being invaded by several Arab nations. They're expecting to be overrun in a very short amount of time. It literally within 6 days, they end up with 3.5 times more land than what they started with.
Okay, now I didn't know that. 3.5 times more land?
Yeah, in only 6 days.
I mean, I know it's called the Six-Day War. I know it's supposed to be miraculous, but I never actually heard that it was that dramatic.
It was stunning. I mean, There was a message that went to Jordan. They're being attacked. Israel's being attacked by Egypt in the south, Syria in the north. A message is sent to the Jordanian high command saying, we don't have any problems with you. Don't start it with us. We won't start it with you. They said, fine. But Jordan attacks anyhow. And literally, we know from a lot of the history books now, there was no high command plan to take Jerusalem or Judea and Samaria, what the world now calls the West Bank or is attempting to. And much of the eyewitness accounts of that time is these guys are just sort of making it up as they go along. And suddenly, you know, 1 week later, they suddenly are in possession of the biblical homeland, the very land that we're talking about that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. 80% of the Bible happens in Judea and Samaria, which is what we call the West Bank today. And there was no plan to take it. There was no plan to take the city of Jerusalem. It just sort of happened.
God used Moshe Dayan.
Indeed.
And his one eye. I met his granddaughter a couple of years ago, and I thought, oh my gosh, like this is incredible. She has both her eyes, by the way. Just want to be clear, it's not a genetic thing.
That's good.
I just wanted to end on a bizarre note. This is so cool to talk to you. Doug Hershey, what is your website?
EzraAdventures.com.
Okay, wanted to get that in. Thank you, my friend, for the book and for all you're doing to let people know about what God has done and is doing. Thank you.
Doing, absolutely.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.